Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida, 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
So blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. Verse 1, blessed is the man. For the last several weeks, and I have a bunch of notes in my notes, but I'm not going to go to those notes because I know you're already thinking lunch, so amen. And just know that my appetite doesn't work as well as my son Andrew's, but it works. So I'm mindful of that as well. We'll endeavor not to take a lot of time, but I want to at least give a bit of a beginning. There are so many books about living the blessed life. And I do believe I found the very best one, and I highly recommend it. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. And want to spend a little bit of time looking at what God calls blessed and what that life looks like. We're not going to rush our way along too quickly about that, because it might be a few Sundays that we end up looking at some of these topics. And so I don't want to take away from anyone who's written wonderful books. And I know a lot of you have read those wonderful books. And I want you to know that I have one book in my file to study. I'm going to be bringing you from the Word of God what I believe is significant and important in living a blessed life. I know that some would say, now, Pastor, you're not going to get way off into that left field about, you know, being a hyper faith believing and pasting Cadillacs, or, you know, years ago, whether it was Amway or other things, some people became very critical of the discussion about being blessed of God and the houses and such forth. And I recently had someone send me an email and said, well, I'm struggling because you have a minister on your station that has a mega-million-dollar house and this and that and such forth, and I don't know what any of them have, and you know what? That's really not my business. And I just wonder how we in the body of Christ could get caught up in justifying criticism and condemnation for people that we really don't know personally. And this is in part, I believe, why it's so important we have a local family that we're a part of. And in a local family, I believe leaders should be held accountable to biblical truth and to ministry, as God has given us ministry in the body of Christ. I believe that's really important. Not going to get into all the financial things this morning, but I would just say this, that in order for there to have been an established synagogue in a community, and there were several. In fact, today if you go to Capernaum, you'll be able to visit a synagogue that literally Jesus ministered in, because the foundation has been found there on the Sea of Galilee. But these synagogues only required 10 families to be established. So you may say, well, why 10? Any of you heard of something like called tithing? So, and I'm not going to be taking an offering, so just relax. Your wallet can be comfortable. If 10 families came together and were actually tithing, then that would have released an equitable income for the leadership that was there in the temple, the rabbi that would be in the temple. And so maintenance was not taken out of that tithe. You know, I almost said the light bill wasn't paid out of it. Of course, they did have light bills. You know, they had olive oil and lamps and things like that they had to have in the temple. But there were other means by which they covered the cost of operating the temple. And I remember the first time I heard this, we were actually in Israel and we were in a congregation, a messianic congregation, and the leader that evening was talking about biblical, financial, and fiscal order, and how that what came in the tithe was to, they saw it, she saw it, he saw it, as being what they received. Well, again, I'm not speaking on tithing this morning per se. I'm just saying in the biblical pattern, it was recognized and accepted that if you had 10 families, 10 families were actually tithing, then the rabbi or the minister, if he received that, he would be living on the same sort of common level as those who were in the congregation. Do you understand that? So I'm not trying this morning to justify extravagance that might be in anyone's life, but I do want to start by saying, I believe the blessed life is what God wants us to live. I really do. I believe that God presented Himself as a God who loves His people and wants to provide for them. And you can study the first covenant. I hate to call it old because it's still alive and new in me. And I read in the first covenant on a regular basis, go through it every year, and also study. And I find that blessing is God's idea. You say, well, is that spiritual? Yes. Did it have to do with God speaking, interacting, communicating, establishing His word, His law with the people? Yes. Did it have to do with God supernaturally protecting them from their enemies? Yes. Did it have to do with the wild animals not attacking and destroying them? Supernatural? Yes. Did it have to do with them being able to have children and to have good health? Yes. Did it have anything to do with their crops not being struck by blight and by disease? Yes. And did it have anything to do with them being blessed to the point that they not only could share with those who had needs, but they could loan to other, not neighbors, but nations? This was part of God's blessing. So this morning, as we look at this, and I know, you know, some of you have your thinking caps on and you're scratching your head a little bit, and I don't think I've ever heard pastor speak on living the blessed life. Well, I speak on it every Sunday. I just speak on it from different passages. Because I don't see anything in the Word of God that isn't about the blessing. The whole gift of salvation is the greatest blessing. And that's why God sent His Son, right? So I don't want to make this a natural thing. I want it to be a spiritual thing. Do you know your finances can be spiritual in your life as well? I believe it. I believe it. And so I want to point your direction as we look at this at some individuals who had a tremendously blessed life. In fact, I just wonder if any of you would have a real problem if God decided to say to Edward back here, I'm going to bless Edwards. I'm going to bless his socks off him. He is going to be the wealthiest man on the Treasure Coast of Florida. Would you have a problem with that, Edward? He would not have a problem with that. Do you know why? Because he has a heart to bless others, and he would do that with what he received. And do you know it's important for us to look at people in the Word of God who were godly and righteous, who were spiritually blessed of God? They were relational with God. They walked with God. They knew God. They knew Him personally and powerfully. And yet they were also the wealthiest, financially wealthiest people living in their entire region. So if it shocks you a little bit, I just want to tell you that God's not finished blessing you. And I'm not taking another offering. And I'm not asking for a raise. And I don't have any other agenda other than to say, often we have not because we ask not. And sometimes we ask amiss. And the guys have been sharing at our campouts. They've been sharing about a man by the name of Jabez. David knew that. Jabez. You see, he's the hallelujah section, so I threw him a curveball. There you go. And actually, Andrew spoke on that to the whole congregation. That was wild. I'm thinking about all these new things. Did you notice last week that Chris actually gave a prophetic word? Did you know that, Chris? Did you plan that? That's how I know it was prophetic. I know it was God. Not pathetic. It was prophetic. It was a good word. God stirring His Spirit in us. So if you've read about that guy by the name of Jabez, he prayed a prayer that I grew up being taught that was dangerous on the lightest level and perhaps heresy on the highest level to pray like that. You know what he prayed? He said, God, I'm not satisfied with anything my family has. I believe You're bigger than all of that. And I've been called a pain since I was born. And I believe that You want to deal with the pain that I carry. Everybody calls Him, hey, pain. I know, you heard about the boy named Sue, right? I know. I was in the world, Bill. I was out. Yeah, I knew about the boy named Sue, right? How'd you like to be called pain? My mother didn't call me pain, but I heard her talking to God about the pain I was. She prayed about that. What did he say? He prayed. He cried out to God, and he asked God to give him more. More than what? More than he had. More than what? More than he could imagine. More than what? More than only God could interpret. I don't know what that means. I don't know how much more it was. It literally means to pull up all of the boundary stakes that limit your thoughts of God and say, God, I'm going to ask and I'm going to make myself available to be an instrument through which You can not only bless me and my family, but bless the families that I have contact with, and I can be a blessing to my generation. Hallelujah. Do you know it was God's plan to bless Israel so much that the Gentiles would be jealous? And you know what happened? God did bless them so much that everybody was jealous. And then they began to think, we don't need God because we have done this. And then as they were lifted up with pride, they lost their standing, they lost their way, and they ended up turning to idolatry. And when they began to worship idols and turned away from God, then God allowed, because they didn't want God's favor, they didn't want God's blessing, they didn't want God's protection, they said, no, we can do all this by ourselves. We want to do it our way. And you know what? When you tell God that long enough, God may just let you have what you're asking for. And so God said, okay, then go ahead, take care of yourself. And the other armies came in and took them and scattered them as a nation, but God still wanted them to be blessed. And then these Gentiles, these goyim, these pigs, that's what they call us. We're the righteous ones. But you Gentiles, you know, you're the goyim. God decided to bless us. And then God said, I'm going to make the Jews jealous of your God to the Gentiles, because the Jews have turned away from me, so I'm going to bring my blessing and I'm going to dump it upon the righteous Gentiles. I'm going to graft them in if they will come in, and I'm going to bless them. How many of you know that's in the Word of God? Y'all still with me? Did you find someone? Blessed. I know you ladies, you're going to want to just say, blessed is the lady that walketh not in the counsel. You can say that. That's okay with me, because I'm sure that if it was in the Septuagint, it's going to be anthropos, which is not, it's not the earth. It's the people that God is speaking to. But blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let me just share this with you, then we're going to close. I'm going to try to get the introduction in, Jeff. So, you know, not the closing, but the introduction. We have three different levels here. Blessed is the man that walketh not, nor standeth, nor sitteth. Three things. Walking, right? Walketh not in what? The counsel of the ungodly. Nor standeth. Standeth where? Standing in the path. Nor sitting. Somebody took the stool. There used to be a thing to sit on up here. Did the union say no more seats for Rachel? Did the church set up union say no more? That's enough. He has a seat. Yeah, right over here. Yeah. Bill, what do you have so many cushions over here for? Look at this. He is well padded. What's too low? Oh, the seat. Let me try it out. You know, I've never come over here. Wow, I like that. It's pretty nice. Let me try this out. Pretty good, too. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And I just jotted some things down. Walketh not. The walking, you understand. It's to go, it's to move, it's to conduct your life, it's to be comfortable around, casual. Not just seeking legal counsel. It's not like, yeah, I provide legal counsel. It's being comfortable, becoming comfortable. Actually, as I looked at this and prayed over it, to me, it is a conditioning. It's a strategy of Satan to condition us through certain aspects of demonic activity to where we are not consistently ready for spiritual warfare. We are not constantly sensitive to the speaking of the Holy Spirit. We are somehow functioning in a wicked world, and we sort of have our boundaries and places we go, and we understand that, but the enemy has been seeking to condition us to not be a warrior, but to be a pacifist that simply drifts along with the tide. So we're talking about three things the blessed person does not do. We're starting from there. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Standing carries with it the idea of stopping. It's one thing to walk. This isn't talking about witnessing. It's not talking about working with people. It's not talking about your neighborhood. It's not talking about any of that. It's talking about don't let the world grab you and begin to fashion you after its image, when Christ has called us to be in His image. So nor standeth in the way of sinners, to stand, to stop, to stay, or relax. Relax, become sedated, resting with. Where we become comfortable with. So the blessed life actually says there's some things I'm not going to do. I am going to be sensitive to the leadership, guidance, and direction of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and I am not going to let my mind drift, my mouth drift. I believe a lot of us need to have our mouth filled with ivory soap. That's what my mama did. Oh, it's rotten. Of course, grown-ups, we don't do that, right? Why is it? Why is it? Why is it that we speak what the world speaks? We talk like the world talks. Is it not because we have listened, we have heard, and we have thought like the world too much, so we begin to produce what the world says? So, nor standeth. Aren't you glad there's only three of these? Because you know I'm almost finished, right? Nor sitteth the counsel of the ungodly, walketh, nor standeth, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, critical. When we get to that sitting part, I didn't really find grammar to push this, but the context suggests it, that sitting in the seat of the scornful carries with it this idea of becoming almost cynical. And to me, it is being planted in the world in such a way that our roots are actually digging deeply into the soil of our culture instead of deep into the culture of heaven. Because one of the scriptures I have, we won't go to, but it talks about being seated in heavenly places with God. Blessed life. Wow. And I have all of Matthew and Beatitudes. Yeah, we're going to look at Beatitudes. We're just going to start this morning with this. That if I'm going to live a blessed life that's blessed of God, then I'm going to need to feed regularly, consistently on God and in His presence, and I'm going to have to passionately pursue Him. And that means that I am going to maintain and contain a huge awareness that I am an alien here. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. And so when I think about that, you may say, but Pastor, you started talking about boats and cars. No, I didn't say boats. Planes. No, I didn't say planes. Trains. No, I didn't say that. Gold bars in the back. No, I didn't say any of that. I thought you were talking about being blessed. I am talking about being blessed. I'm talking about being blessed of God. I remember a rich young man came to Jesus and he said, "What must I do?" He actually fell. He cried out to Him. I remember that. I think about that. Because if you think about this, when Jesus said, "Oh, I got to keep the commandments," and Jesus is giving him a little bit, you know, and he goes, "I've done all that since a kid." They said, "Just one thing you lack." I said, "Well, that sounds easy, right? It's just one thing you lack. There's just one thing. We can certainly handle that." Until Jesus said, "Just sell everything you have and come follow me." Like, whoa! I say, "Pastor, I thought you were talking about living the blessed life." The blessed life is a life that's fully surrendered to God, with or without everything or nothing. And God does not have a problem blessing us spiritually, physically, financially. He doesn't have a problem with that. The problem is if we live for that instead of living for God. And with that, I'm finished. Father, thank you for meeting with us this morning. Thank you, Father, that the blessed life is a life that is fully surrendered to Jesus Christ. We're your people. If I ask for a show of hands, how many believe in God? Yeah, our hands would all go up. How many have prayed the prayer to receive Jesus? Our hands would go up. How many have welcomed the Holy Spirit? I believe all of our hands would go up. And yet, Father, as we come together, I desire to see the release of the glory of God. And the glory of God, that it would cover our city, it would cover Martin County, St. Lucie, Indian River. Father, across our state, that the glory of the Lord would be released. And Father, in my prayers for this family is that everyone is full of the Spirit. That everyone is contagious in your testimony. That everyone is healed in your body. That everyone has all of your needs provided so we can bless and encourage others. Father, I pray for that blessing to be with your church. For Father, when I look in the Word of God and I realize that a John who's questioning, is Jesus the Messiah? And the messengers went and Jesus said, tell him what you see. Tell him what you hear. And they went back and said, we see the lame walking and we see the dead raised and we see demons cast out. We see the power of God and we see the kingdom being preached. And Father, I pray that this morning that through my life and our lives and once again here in the Treasure Coast, that those who seek will find not just a religious relationship, but a spiritual transformation by the power of God that enables us to minister in this same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's me. How about you? That you? And that's me? That's me? That's who my God is. That's who I am. That's who we are. Amen. Ready, you and Jasmine going to come and lead us in communion today? You've been getting ready all morning, I know. I don't know if it was the Happy Hunters. Any of you heard of the Happy Hunters? The Happy Hunters, they were happy because they found that God is a God of His Word. And nothing is too difficult for God. And there was a song that was sung back in those days, and it was real simple. It was kind of like this. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I am blessed. Have you ever heard that song? I know I'm not the greatest singer, but I'm just trying to help you understand. That was a song. And I'm like, wow, that's a cool song. The rest of it kind of went like the first part of it. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I am blessed. And then the next part kind of went like the first two parts. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm so blessed. And then the last part kind of went like the other parts. I don't deserve it, and yet I am blessed. Satan will say, you don't deserve it, so why would you ask for it? Because Jesus made me part of the family. Jesus made us part of the family. Heirs and joint heirs with Him. With Him.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that You are Christ, the Son of the living God, that You died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name. And fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStewart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Experience resurrection life.
The kingdom of God is an instrument and it dictates a time, place, and position within you, which reflects the dominion that God has given you.
No more church as usual. Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. Visit us in person at 405 Exoria Avenue in Fort Pierce or online at trbanks.com.
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer.